Reading today is from Jonah chapter 1, found on page 928 of the Blue Bibles. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Sarah. Let's just pray a moment. Lord God, I pray that amongst all the things that we're looking at this morning, we're thinking about, that we're hearing, that are going on in our minds, I pray that we would discern your voice, that we'd hear what it is that you're wanting to say to each one of us. And we pray that, unlike Jonah, we would head off in the right direction to do the right things about it. Amen. I love Jonah, this story, and we're looking at over these next few weeks, as many of you will be familiar with. Last week we looked at a general introduction. This week we're going to look particularly at Jonah chapter 1, which we've just heard, and over the next few weeks we'll be going through, interspersed with various psalms which explore similar themes to those of Jonah. But I did hear that Jonah, instead of going off to Tarshish, was actually going to go off to Cardiff. But he decided against it. Apparently he heard that the traffic on the M4 is absolutely awful, and he didn't want to get stuck in Wales. There's more. Be scared. Be afraid. The thing is about Jonah, it is a comedy. You know, you look at the way God carries on with Jonah, all that stuff we heard last week, there's the whale and there's this worm, and he's kind of the way he deals with Jonah, it is a comedy. And again, like I was saying last week, often with those comedies, they're wonderful because we actually see ourselves in them, and it's often easier to see ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I read through Jonah, I see so much of myself in this guy and his responses to God. As you read through, hold up the mirror, look at yourself and think, what is God saying to me? What would God be saying to me now? But to start off with, we need, should we put up the introductory slide? We need a bit of this. We all need a bit of this in our lives. Mission Impossible. Who feels like, hands up, who feels, if you are a follower of Jesus, first of all, so you might not be, you might be sitting here thinking, well, I don't follow, okay. If you are a follower of Jesus, who feels that they are great at sharing their faith with others? Hands up. I'm not putting my hand up, by the way, I'm just demonstrating. Good. We're about as good as St. Luke's then. That's great as well. It's true though, isn't it? We're all pretty rubbish, or we feel rubbish at it. I suspect some of us are better than we give ourselves credit for. But it's something that's difficult. How do we go about it? And maybe like me, you sort of blunder between continually thinking, oh, I wish I'd said something. Oh, I should have said this. I should have said, there was my opportunity. I've been waiting all my life for this opportunity to say, and I haven't. On the one extreme. And on the other extreme, saying, oh, why on earth did I say that? Why did I put my foot in it? You know, I've blown it now. How is this person ever going to know God's love and experience it when I say stupid things like that? You know, oh, I haven't explained it very well, whatever it is. I don't think Jonah's alone in getting it wrong. And so this week, what I want to do is, looking at Jonah and a bit elsewhere in the Bible as well, is to just try and give us a little bit more confidence in sharing our faith, and to give us a few tips that, well, tips I found helpful, but hopefully they'll help all of us in how we go about that. They're not difficult, okay. This is not rocket science, but hopefully out the end of it we'll feel a little bit more confident and a little bit more capable. And the first question, so I've got three little tips today, and the first one is one that I've explained to some of you before. I don't make any apologies to say it again. I will probably say it more times as well, just because I think it's quite fundamental. And it's this. Hey. The question is, which way are you heading? I need two volunteers. Can I have two volunteers? This is not going to involve anything dangerous. It's not going to involve anything messy. Thank you. Anything messy. I always forget your name.
Lindsay.
Lindsay, that's right. Yep. And Millie. So, Lindsay, if you would like to stand over there, please. Yeah, even further. No, right over there, off the stage. Sort of over near Dan somewhere. That's great. Okay. Millie, if you'd like to stand just about there, that would be brilliant. Thank you. Now, I want you to imagine that this is Norfolk Square, okay? Just, we're the middle of Glossop for those of you who are just visiting for the day and stumbled into a church. Norfolk Square is the place that you will have sat at for the church. Actually, Sunday it's not too bad, Sunday mornings, I can vouch for that. But Sunday, down in the middle of Glossop, crossroads. So, Norfolk Square there. Lindsay is at about Denton Island, out, you know, junction of the M67, M60, that place where you hold your breath and think, what's the jam going to be like today? I discovered, did you know there's a website where you can see the time for the inbound slog and the outbound slog into Glossop? There really is. Go and look at, anyway, enough of that. She's a long way off. Denton Island, motorway, M60, all that. Millie, on the other hand, is sat just outside Tesco's at the lights there, okay? So, relatively close. Now, who has the best chance of reaching Norfolk, assuming they're both in identical cars, who has the best chance of reaching Norfolk Square first? Millie. Millie. It's not difficult. This is really not difficult. Okay, brilliant. That's right. Now, if I tell you that Millie is facing that way, and Lindsay is facing this way. Millie is driving that way, and Lindsay is driving this way. Who is going to get to Norfolk Square first?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, that's right. You can, in fact, you can do it. How about... I mean, choreography, national ballet or whatever, we've got nothing on it. Can I have a round of applause for the volunteers, because that's it. Now, the thing is, imagine this isn't Norfolk Square, but this is where God is. I know God's everywhere and all that, but God is also in Norfolk Square. And we can feel like we're very close to God. And maybe you feel like you've been a Christian for a long time. And you feel, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. The truth is, we've all got miles to go, isn't it? And we know that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. All? I mean, we've got a long way to go, haven't we? So wherever we are, the truth is, we're a long way off. The trouble is, sometimes we can feel like I'm pretty close to God. Those other people there who don't know God are a long way off from God. But actually, it does matter where we are, but it also matters, perhaps even more sometimes, which way we're heading. The question for each of us is not where everyone else is in a way, it's which way are you or I heading? Are we heading closer to God or further away? And actually, as we think about some of the other people around us, maybe we might realise they're not even following Jesus yet, but actually they're seeking. They want to know. They're heading the right direction. If you think I'm sort of coming up with this out the sky, let's go back to Jonah. And Jonah is in this ship or whatever he's in. He's a prophet. He knows who God is. Even better, he hears God's voice very clearly. I mean, this is serious stuff, isn't it? He's close to God. But he is literally heading in the wrong direction. What about the sailors in the story? The sailors get quite a lot of coverage in the Bible, really. We get almost a whole chapter about the sailors here. What about the sailors? You could say the sailors and Jonah are all in the same boat. But you see, Jonah doesn't see things like that, does he? There's a storm, for goodness sake. The sailors are up on deck. They're chucking things overboard. They start crying out to the gods that they know. And Jonah... where is Jonah? In the hold of a boat. He's down below deck. And what is he doing? Throwing things overboard? No. He's asleep. It's almost as if he believes he's above these people. And the truth is, he's actually below them. And the captain comes down and asks Jonah what I think is a bigger question that may seem at first. He says, how can you sleep? How can you sleep while these people who don't know God are going to perish? How can you sleep? And I wonder whether the captain might ask the same question of us today at times. How can you sleep while these people who don't know God are going to perish? Well, eventually, after drawing, you know how the story goes, they draw a few straws, well, actually lots. There was a joke there. And Jonah tells them who he worships about this God. And the sailors then do the remarkable thing. They start to try to save Jonah. It's almost as if the sailors keep doing the very thing that Jonah should be doing. He's the guy who's here, isn't he? He's the guy who's close to God. Yet he's the one heading in the wrong direction. It's them who show us how to do things. They start to save him. Irony, Jonah has just not tried to save them. Why? Because they're afraid of God. And here's Jonah, who's so afraid of God that he's heading off in the wrong direction. And eventually they give in to him, they throw him overboard, the storm stops, and what happens? It says the sailors offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. How good are they? The sailors were Denton Island. But they were desperately searching for God. And they found him. And they worshipped him. And they made vows to him. Jonah's outside Tesco's. But he's running away in the wrong direction. And God had to use a whale to sort him out. Question for each of us is, how near or far from God are we? But bigger than that, which way are we heading? And as we look at those around us, does the captain come down and say, why are you sleeping? What are you doing about this situation? How can we sleep? So that's the first question. Which way are we heading? The second question is about Jonah's attitude to the sailors, and for that matter to the Ninevites as well. See, when the sailors are in trouble, Jonah is keeping himself apart, isn't he? He's seeing himself as different. But actually Jonah could learn a thing or two from the sailors. And then when God has said to Jonah, you know, go to Nineveh, and he heads off in the opposite direction. Why? Because he sees himself, these people, as different, in a different predicament, and he doesn't want to get involved. He's scared. And when Jonah does eventually get there, he does what God wants. He tells them that God's going to destroy their city, but God spares it. We looked at this last week. Jonah goes off in a huff, because he's more interested in telling them than loving them. And actually doesn't want God to be compassionate to them either, and makes it very clear. You see, let's take another volunteer again. Anyone? Dan? Great. See, if Dan stays over there, we can often see that our role in sharing the good news about Jesus is like this. It's at. It's from a distance. We've got to tell them. It's at people. Whereas actually what God wants us to do is come alongside, we'll walk together, and talk together and share life together. And what that's about, brilliant, thank you. Evangelism is more about with rather than as. And if you want the biggest example of this, just look at the incarnation. Look at Jesus coming amongst us. Not God on a cloud saying, do this, do that, do the other. This is God with us, Emmanuel. We celebrated at Christmas, coming alongside us, identifying with us, being with us in the good times and the bad times. Jonah wanted it to be about at. He gives his message, tells them terrible things are going to happen, and then stomps off outside the city. But God says he's more about being compassionate and loving, about getting alongside the people who are different from us, who have different views from us, who are struggling to understand and come to know God. It's not about compromising the message, but it is about how we share it. with love and compassion. It's about travelling with people on their journeys. And I think that's good news, don't you? It's so much easier. That's the truth. We set in our minds, I've got to have it all sorted. I've got to know what to say. I've got to do it out. But actually, it's okay to come alongside someone and say, I struggle with that too. I'm not sure about that answer. But I know that you can take it. I know a God who you can bring those problems to, those issues to, who cares about you. And I want to get alongside you in that. I always think the Alpha Course is one of those great examples of that. That model that's been so helpful, it's certainly helped me, but it's, you know, transformed many churches, not only in this country, but around the world. And the picture is of sitting down together, exploring faith alongside each other. Not telling one another, this is the way it is, do this, do that, do the other. And what's more than that, it's about the journey that carries on with those people through that time and then going onwards, sharing life together, travelling together, journeying together. One of the best examples of that, I think, is the people who give lifts to people to get to Alpha. And just taking, coming alongside in a very kind of physical, practical way. And I'm sure those conversations in the car that go on before and after, being there for people. It's wonderful. It's very important. And it's so much easier than having to know all the answers as well. The third thing, so that's the with, not at. And the last one I want to talk about this morning is this. I've actually just blown the answer to my question there. Okay, some of you might be able to get the right answer to this one now. There is a clue on the screen. Okay, what do you get if you divide the circumference of an apple by its diameter? Apple pie. That's right. Yes. Third tip for evangelism. It really can be as simple as pie. And by pie, I mean prayer and invitation. Now, this is something that Jonah was not great at again. You know, we come to a storm. They're all about to drown. These people are, you know, chucking stuff overboard and all the rest of it. He doesn't get involved practically in any way. But what would you expect the prophet of Almighty God to at least do? Pray would be good, wouldn't it? That would be a great start. What does he do? He goes to sleep while the sailors try and pray. Prayer and invitation, it's simple. You know, if we want people to come to know Jesus, it's a great idea to start praying for them. The trouble is, if you're like me, I'm rubbish at doing it. I forget. How much time? Or I think, oh, I've prayed for them enough times, they've not got it, let's move on. And we can all remember stories we've heard, well, we probably can, of people who've prayed all their lives for people to become Christians, and maybe you have. And suddenly they become a believer just at the end of their life, or after years and years of prayer. Please keep praying. And if you're not praying, start praying. Pray for people you know to come to know Christ. It's quite simple. It's not difficult. You might even sometimes want to say a prayer for them when they're there, you know, if they're struggling or whatever. There's a stepping, you know, another step of faith. And it is amazing in this country how many people will still respond and say yes to being prayed for. Even though they'll say, I don't believe in prayer, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in anything. But it's still, say one for me, will you? Yeah? We can offer to pray for people. It's something we can all do. Jonah didn't. He just slept. But the other part of this is invitation. St. Peter is known for being, you know, a great, well, I don't know. He's a big mouth anyway, isn't he? And sometimes, some of us can relate to that. And sometimes he gets it right, and sometimes he gets it wrong. But, you know, standing up on Pentecost, telling people about Jesus. And 3,000 people come to Christ. But of course, somebody introduced Peter to Jesus. And that somebody was Andrew. And we might not all be able to be Peters, but we can all be Andrews. It's a famous alpha illustration, isn't it? You know. But it's true. We can't be all be Billy Grahams, but we can be that guy McCulkin, whatever he's called, is the guy who introduced him to Jesus. Invitation. Pray for people and then invite people. And that's what we want to do as a church. We want to create opportunities to invite people. It might be about inviting people to come along on a Sunday. That's great. It might be come along to Alpha. That's great. It might be come along to Messy Church. Great. It might be come along to Toga. Great. It might be come along to Toddlers. Great. It might be come along to Women of Whitfield. It could be anything. Whatever it is. We do a lot of things as a church. To invite people along. We want to do more of those things. We want to do more social events where we can invite people along to those things. You know, to the cafes, whatever. There's so many different opportunities. So that it doesn't have to be, I've got to explain the complete, the whole of Romans in all its detail, and this person's got to be a Christian for 30 years before they feel safe stepping inside a church. But we can actually invite people along. Sharbrook, you know, we can invite people along to things that going along. They can start to build relationships and start to discover. And while they do it, we can pray for them. Prayer and invitation. Coming alongside people on their journeys and being willing to spend time with them. So there we go. Three different ways. They're just three tips. There's many, many more. I could go on for a long time, but I'm not going to because everyone will get very upset. And we'll forget them anyway. So there's three things that we can do. First of all, ask ourselves, which way are we heading? Are we growing in our faith genuinely now? Secondly, about sharing our faith, being more about with rather than at. And thirdly, prayer and invitation, as simple as pie. Thinking about praying for people, who can we do that? Thy Kingdom Comes coming up, annual opportunity to pray for people, but also to invite them along. And I want to just finish by asking you to imagine how that might transform our church. You see, imagine if each one of us here today, in the next year, invited along three people to some sort of event. Any of the above that we've mentioned, or whether it's carols, or whether it's the, you know, you could just go on and on, couldn't we? And imagine if out of those three people, just one person started regularly coming along to the church, getting involved in the life of the church in that year. That would mean our numbers doubled. That's dramatic, isn't it? And it would also mean that we would have many more people who are exploring faith. People maybe who've got there saying, yeah, I believe. People who've just started out saying, yeah, I need help, support. Many more people are saying, well, I'm not sure what I believe, but I feel I might be able to find something here and I want to spend some time hanging out with you guys and exploring what faith's about. I just think that would be fantastic, wouldn't it, as a church, as we look around on a Sunday, as we saw that happening. All it needs is for each of us to be inviting along a few people to come along to different events, to find out what it's all about and want to discover more. The captain said to Jonah, "How can you sleep?" I do think God sometimes says to us, "How can you sleep? It's time to get up. It's time to share the good news." And it really isn't that difficult. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the love and the compassion that you have for us. We thank you for the love that you had for Jonah, that you gave him another chance despite all those times he mucked it up. We thank you too, though, for the love you had for those sailors, that you gave them a chance. And the love you had for the people of Nineveh, that you gave them another chance too. And we thank you that you give each one of us another chance, and those we know. Lord, we pray that we would not be sleeping, but that we would wake up ready to serve you, and that you would show us how you want to do it, how you want each one of us to be part of your mission to transform this world by your love and your compassion. Stir us up, we pray, so that we would be your people once again, shining as a light into your world. Amen.